Fran fam, what's going on? Listen, before we start this podcast episode, I have a very, very small favor to ask of each and every single one of you guys. I appreciate the support that all of you have been showing for the podcast up until this point, but we want to try and get these episodes out to as many people as possible. And how we do that on the audio side is by leaving a review and dropping a 5-star rating. So if you've been a consistent listener of the pod, please, before we get this episode started, it only takes a couple of seconds, leave a review. It could be a 2-word, 3-word, 4-word review, or just leave a rating. Do something to get the word out so that we can get the Marvin Francois Show to more listeners moving forward. Outside of that, love you guys, appreciate the support, but without further ado, let's get into this episode.
One of the properties I got for $3,100, but it was worth about $15,000, so I came in with a little bit of equity. I was able to sell that one to a builder for $10,000. I just got it off real quick. It was like my first one. Sold it to him for $10,000. Made what, about $7,000. So the second one I got for $1,900. And it's funny because I was learning at this time. So I thought I made a horrible purchase, but I was able to save myself by, it was this lot. It had some cars in it. I was like, man, I can't do anything with this. Like, what the heck did I just buy? But I went and knocked on the door to the neighbor. It looked like this guy was running like a mechanic shop here. So I knocked on the door and I was like, hey, I own this property. Would you be willing to buy it from me? And it was like, no, my grandparents own this property. And I was like, well, your grandparents ain't been paying their taxes because I now own the property. So I was able to negotiate with them. Now, I only made $2,000 off of that deal because I thought I messed up. So I got rid of it so cheap, like just to get rid of it. But looking back, I was like, man, like this guy had a whole mechanic shop. Like I could have maybe got like at least $10,000 off of that deal. The third one, I used my VA loan again for the second time. So used the VA loan, didn't do any rehab or anything to the house. And the cool thing about real estate, it's always going up for the most part. So I sold that home in worse condition than when I bought it, like literally just almost a year later. And I made like $65,000 off of that sale.
Thirty-8%. That's the amount of entrepreneurs that are struggling to get their business funded because their personal credit isn't where it needs to be. Now, you can look into alternatives like corporate credit cards and vendor accounts, but the truth is the easiest way to get access to 5 to 6 figures in funding is to have good personal credit. As an entrepreneur, the stress of trying to build a successful business is already enough as is. So why work harder than you need to when you can simplify the funding process by getting your credit restored? My company, Takeoff Financial, has served hundreds of entrepreneurs just like you by helping them avoid the pain of getting denied for business funding by restoring their personal credit, and we want you to be the next one. So click the link above or below this video to secure your free consultation, and let's put you in position to get you funding that your business needs.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Marvin Francois Show, your number one source for all things business, finance, and investing. And today is a very special day because our guest today is a real estate investor extraordinaire. He is the owner and founder of Tax Deed Wolf Academy, where he has helped new and aspiring real estate investors acquire property for as little as $3,000. Through these strategies, he's been able to help hundreds not only walk away from their 9-to-5, but also generate well over $60,000 in revenue per year, regardless of their circumstance or situation. And with the free value content he's provided on platforms all over the internet, our guest has made it to where if you're following the game he's giving on how to get started in real estate, success in this space is all but inevitable. And on this interview, he's here to do more of the same. Ladies and gentlemen, from Orlando, Florida, I am here with the one, the only, my guy, Mr. Joseph Griffin Jr., a.k.a. the Tax Deed Wolf himself. What's going on, family? How are you?
Going on, brother. Appreciate you having me. First off, man, love the podcast. You're always... you're dropping knowledge, and everybody you bring in here is dropping knowledge. So I'm just glad to be in good company.
1,000%, man. 1,000%. My goal is to provide so much value on this platform. People feel like it's illegal that they were able to get this for free. And obviously, when we talk about my space, which is credit, credit is really just a tool, right, that you leverage and use to invest in all different arenas and assets. And there is no bigger space than the real estate space, right? And I've sat down with some heavy hitters, but I've never sat down to break down the tax deed game. And I said, who's the best in the space? Who is the number one mover and shaker to where if you talk tax deeds and this man's name don't come up, just stop the conversation. And I said, none other than my guy, Mr. Joseph Griffin. So I'm excited to have you on here, man. I'm extremely excited to give my people the game, give your people the game as well. But for those who are unfamiliar, we want to take some time to get them familiar. So before we get into the game, who exactly is Mr. Joseph Griffin Jr.?
Yo, so known as the Tax D Wolf, I'm going to keep the story like really, really quick. Started out in New Orleans, Louisiana. Hurricane Katrina came, ended up in Atlanta, Georgia. Joined the military at 17. I was still in high school. So really got used to dealing with adversity. I think that's one of the things that made me so good at any industry that I'm in is I know how to get over the obstacles. And that's just a part of life, right? So we have to understand that. So after joining the military sent me to a medic school, then LPN school, then eventually became an RN. But clocking in, clocking out, man, got so tired of it. Was stressed out, sitting outside in my car, like, man, I really have to go back in here. 12-hour shifts, I'm stuck, can't leave. And I was able to retire at 29. So I bought my first house, actually. I was 21 years old, 2013-14. Came back from OEF, Afghanistan, and bought my first property with a VA loan. Man, the rest was history. Here we are 10 years later, and I'm in my third year being retired right now.
So just feeling it. Wow. Well, first and foremost, thank you for your service. I actually did see that you, of course, served, and even to hear kind of your transition from there until now, definitely incredible. But to be retired at 29, it's pretty crazy, right? And it's even more insane because I'm sure, like, you know, I think a lot of people associate retirement with age, right? A lot of people think that retirement is like, oh, okay, that happens when I turn 65. But in reality, it's directly connected with your ability to have assets, to have things that are creating cash flow to where you don't have to work, right? To create the money that you need to sustain a livable lifestyle. And for you to get there at 29 was absolutely insane. So you were in nursing, you're in the nursing space. And then from there, you transitioned to real estate. If I heard correctly, you bought your first property with a VA loan. Is that correct?
Correct.
Got you. Now, where exactly from you getting inside of real estate do you now stumble across your specialty now, which is the leveraging tax deeds to invest in real estate?
Yeah, good question. So it started out after I got back home in 2014, you know, bought that house, didn't know what the hell I was doing. Honestly, I just bought a house because it sounded cool and I could. So bought the house. I went back overseas in 2015. So this second time going back overseas, about 23, 24, something like that. And we were making so much money because I did a private contract. And so much money back then, we all was like just barely getting over six figures. So making a little bit over six figures. And it was tax-free money. My squad leader at the time, he was like, hey, man, have you ever heard of tax deeds? And he was like, you can get houses when people don't pay their property taxes. And I was like, man, that's a scam. Ain't no way. Like, ain't no way this is true. So we looked it up, man. We started diving into this thing, trying to Google it. And of course, Google will have you so lost in the sauce with the tax deed stuff. And I didn't start right away. It wasn't until actually like 2 years, 3 years after that, where I met someone in the hospital and his family had been doing tax deed investing for generations. Like literally his grandmother had passed it down to them. But the way he was doing it, he was buying one property and then he would take it, he would fix it up himself. So he was taking maybe a year, a little longer to actually sell the properties and make profit. So, you know, I'm asking him questions and, you know, with the advice that he was giving me, I was like, you know what, I'm going to dive in. Went in there, man. It was actually March. It was my birthday month. In that same month, I was able to get three properties using less than $3,000. All right. Within under 30 days, using less than $6,000. Sorry, correction. So under 30 days, less than $6,000, I had got three properties.
That is insane. Say that again to make sure I heard you correctly. How many properties in how many days for how much money? Because you just said something that I'm about to break this mic. How much?
Yeah, less than $6,000. I got three properties in under 30 days.
Crazy. Okay, so now with that, and that was through leveraging the tax deed strategy that you had ultimately stumbled across.
So for two of those, got you.
Okay, got you. Now, what with those three properties that you secured, did you end up fixing and flipping them? Did you end up just buying a whole? What happened after you got them?
Man, that's a good question, because when it comes to real estate, a lot of times people don't understand that aren't in the industry that we make our money on the purchase, right? That's when we get paid on the purchase. So with the tax deeds, I got them so cheap that I came in with equity, right? Equity is amazing. Equity is like hiding your money somewhere else. We don't get taxed on it. And you have all the leverage in the world. So right. I got one of the properties I got for $3,100, but it was worth about 15,000. So I came in with a little bit of equity. I was able to sell that one to a builder for $10,000. I just got it off real quick. It was like my first one. Sold it to him for $10,000. Made what, about $7,000.
Goodness gracious, man. I'm getting excited. We didn't even start getting to the game yet. And I'm already getting excited. That's crazy.
Yeah. I didn't even tell you about the other two, actually.
what happened with the other two? I want to know what happened with the other two.
So the second one I got for $1,900. And it's funny because I was learning at this time. So I thought I made a horrible purchase, but I was able to save myself by, it was this lot. It had some cars in it. I was like, man, I can't do anything with this. Like, what the heck did I just buy? But I went and knocked on the door to the neighbor. It looked like this guy was running like a mechanic shop here. So I knocked on the door and I was like, hey, I own this property. Would you be willing to buy it from me? And it was like, you know, no, my grandparents own this property. And I was like, well, your grandparents ain't been paying their taxes because I now own the property. So I was able to negotiate with them. Now, in hindsight, I only made $2,000 off of that deal because I thought I messed up. So I got rid of it so cheap, like just to get rid of it. But looking back, I was like, man, like this guy had a whole mechanic shop. Like I could have maybe got like at least $10,000 off of that deal.
Right.
Yeah, the third one, I used my VA loan again for the second time. So used the VA loan, didn't do any rehab or anything to the house. And the cool thing about real estate, it's always going up for the most part. So right. I sold that home in worse condition than when I bought it, like literally just almost a year later. And I made like $65,000 off of that sale.
That is crazy. So you sold the home in worse condition where you secured it and still was able to walk away with a bag.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Crazy.
So this was how many years ago that these first three properties were purchased?
Ooh, this was about six years ago.
Got you.
2017, 2018. Yeah, man, time's flying.
Time is flying. So fast forward 5-6 years later to where we are now. You talked a little bit about your intro to the space. How many more properties have you been able to secure by way of tax deed investing, right? How much more revenue has your business been able to generate? If you're okay disclosing that. Right.
Yeah,
so that the people really understand the power of this strategy.
So currently I have personally 34 doors. All right. 34 doors. Now, the reason we say doors, like one of those is a 12 unit apartment complex in Arkansas. So we just go off the door count. All collectively as a team, though, because I have a huge team, you know, we started a fund, Wolfpack Capital, raised a little, you know, OPM, use other people's money. Yeah, we were able to scale a lot more quickly. So man, at this point, like just last year, we did about 55, 60 transactions. So that's tax deed flips, that's wholesale, that's buy and hold, that's a little bit of everything, subject to seller finance, a little bit of everything, but 55 something transactions. And man, we did 1.3 million last year. On one deal, I made $200,000 on one deal.
Crazy. And this is all strictly tax deed, leveraging tax deeds, like you said.
This is everything. Yeah, this is everything. One of the best deals we've done with tax deeds, $15,000 turned into $130,000. And let me just break that one down really quick, man.
Break it down.
So my partner, you know, got this property out of tax sale auction for $15,000. Now, as is, look what I say, buy right. Came in with equity. So the house as is worth like $60,000, $80,000. Well, what he decided was, let me become the bank on this instead. So he sold it what we call via seller finance. He got a down payment. The person who bought the home came in, they did the rehab, they're paying him monthly. So not only did he get not a security deposit, a non-refundable down payment. So he got that $30,000 up front, making money. Person did the rehab. Guess what? A couple months go by, a year go by, that person stopped paying. Guess what he did? Foreclosed, got the property back, did it for a second time. Hey, non-refundable down payment. It's better condition. I actually want more money this time.
Right.
Got the money. Went ahead, seller financed it out again. So seller finance, super awesome strategy, man. We're making money. A lot of times the people don't even finish the loan. So we end up foreclosing and getting it right back and just doing it all over again.
Come on, man. This is about to be silly. This is about to be silly. This is about to be crazy. So that's the success that you and your company and your fund has had, right? But like I said, one of the things I love doing is really bringing on people that not only have had success in the space themselves, right, but also have people that are under them. In your case, you have students, you have mentees that have also had success leveraging tax deeds as well. Talk a little bit about some of the success that your students and other individuals that you've taught about the strategy have been able to go out and do.
Yeah, definitely. So our academy is only about 2 years old, right? We started this about 2 years ago. Now, within that 2 years, I do have some of my top students who are actually coaches now. So they're doing good enough to where they can, you know, they're training other people, which is amazing.
Right.
One of my first students started out as my videographer. He's recording me and I'm like, hey, man, just follow me around. Like, this is some awesome stuff. People keep asking me about it. Follow me around. I'm going to give game. He's following me around. He hears me, you know, he's like, man, yo, I want to learn this stuff. Like, as he's recording me. And right. I was like, you know what? You give me four videos and I'll show you, like, I'll literally show you how to do this. Well, this dude went on in like that in the next 14 months, he did 9 flips from taxi. 9 flips in 12 months. Now, will everybody do that? No, everybody's not a wolf, but we want to create wolves, but not sheep, right? But if you come in right mindset and you have that, you know, you have that hungry mentality, people think it's about the job. Like, no, it's about you. How you do anything, so you do everything. No, wherever you go, you're gonna put that same input and you're gonna get the same output. So he really killed it.
I love it. I love it. So let's break down this game then, man. You're talking spicy right now. You're talking a very heavy game right now. And like you said, we're not trying to create sheep. I'm trying to create some wolves on this episode. You understand me? So let's really break this tax deed game down for individuals that are watching, right? I want this episode to do two things. I want to make this as easy to understand to where a third grader can walk away and start investing in tax deeds if they're using tax deeds to invest if they want to. But the second thing I want to do in this episode, I want somebody to feel upset. So I want them to feel bad about how much value we gave away for absolutely free. Can we do that? Is that all right with you? Can we do that?
Let's do it. All right, fantastic.
So to start off, right, first and foremost, to make sure that the audience truly understands, what exactly, if you had to like break it down in just layman's terms, what exactly are tax deeds and how do we work? How do they work? And how can we start leveraging them to investing in real estate?
Yeah, let's take it even one more step back. I'm going to call it tax sale. Okay, so what happens is in the U.S., whenever you own a property, you have to pay your property taxes. When you don't pay those property taxes, the county comes in, typically the county, they take that property and they're going to sell it at some form of auction. Now, depending on what state you live in, that will determine what type of sale is conducted. All right. This is by county. So now we can break this thing down. We have tax liens, we have tax deeds, and we have tax redemption deeds. Those are the main three that you're going to hear about. Now there's other things out there, scavenger sale. Louisiana has adjudicated properties, right? There's other, you know, commissioner sales, land banks, there's different things out there. So with the tax liens, I'm going to just keep going, man. I'm gonna keep flowing.
Go.
A tax lien is just a claim. Okay. A lien is, it's not just a tax lien. There's other liens out there, right? So a lien is a debt that somebody owes and they have a claim on your property for that debt. All right. Mm-hmm. Now with the tax lien, it's just because of back taxes. So if I stop paying my taxes, let's say I owe $3,000, Marvin can come in and pay that $3,000 lien. And let's just say it's at 18% interest. For me to keep my property, I have to pay Marvin back that $3,000 plus the 18% interest and I can redeem my property. Well, we go one step further. Now we have a tax deed. And what people don't understand is with a tax deed auction, when I win the auction, that property is mine immediately. That deed, more specifically, is mine immediately. The county's sending me that deed in the mail the minute I make that payment. So mind blowing that, like, people don't know that and they confuse it with liens all the time. Now, last thing, the third thing that they confuse this with is tax redemption deeds. So people that live in states like Georgia or Texas, you know, when I say, hey, I get the properties immediately, they're like, no, it's cap. He's lying. Well, that's because they live in Texas or they live in like a Georgia where they have tax redemption deeds. So when you win the auction, it's in the title. There's a redemption period in which the owner can still pay you back with interest to keep their property. If they don't pay you back with interest, then you can foreclose and then get that deed. So we're doing all these strategies, man. We're doing all these strategies. It's been very, very, very lucrative, man. We're making, we coming in, like, I got a house in Alabama for just $550, right? That's crazy. Yes, it needs like $45,000 in rehab, but still, I still came in with equity. And we use business credit cards. Now they tap in with you, go get the business credit cards. We're showing them how to use the business credit cards to do the rehab, sell the property, and then pay the credit card up, pay the credit card off. Because you do have to pay the debt. A lot of times people forget that part, like pay the people back.
Right. Okay, so this is good. So I want to make sure I understand, right? We got three. The big three when we talk about a tax sale. We have tax deed, tax lien, tax redemption deed. Am I with you?
Yep, correct.
Tax lien, we buy the property, and if the person who the property originally owned wants it back, they have to pay what I paid plus whatever interest is on the property. Correct.
We buy the debt, basically. We're buying the debt, not the property. So we only have a claim to the property. We don't have that property yet. Gotcha. So we're basically just giving someone a loan, basically.
If you're a new entrepreneur struggling to get your business funded, this video is for you. What's going on, family? My name is Marvin Francois, and just a couple of years ago, I was actually a new entrepreneur trying to build my first successful business. Now, fast forward to today, I've been able to do much more than that, scaling multiple six-figure businesses, leveraging business credit, and now I want to teach other entrepreneurs how they could do the same. So this Thursday, I'm going to be hosting my free Bankroll Your Business Masterclass, where I'm going to be teaching you how to access business funding regardless of your situation. If you have bad credit, I'm going to teach you how to fix it. If you have no credit, I'm going to teach you how to build it. And if you don't know which banks to go to, I'm going to give you my secret business funding sequence that's going to get you a minimum of $50,000 in business funding. Now look, this may sound too good to be true, but the reality is it isn't. Slots are moving fast and time is running out. So if you haven't already, click the link above or below this video to secure your seat. And I'll see you on class on Thursday. Peace.
Got you. And that is tax lien. Got you. Yep. Tax deed, the second I make the payment on the debt, it's mine. Like, ain't no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I don't care what. It's mine.
Ain't no ifs, ands, or buts. Now, technically, somebody could come try to sue and say, like, oh, no, like, I didn't know about the sale. You know, that technically could happen, but that's why we have further steps where we would need to clear title to make sure it's rightfully ours and stuff like that. But as far as statute goes, that's yours.
Gotcha. And then you have tax redemption deed where I can purchase the debt and claim ownership of the property. However, the original owner of said property has a redemption period where they can still come back and get their property back.
So you won't have ownership yet, but it's understood that if they don't pay, you will get the ownership.
You will get the ownership. Got it. Okay. So now let's unpack those three a little bit more, right? For you and for your expertise in being in the space, and I kind of feel like I know which one, but still, are you leveraging all three? Are you leaning more towards one of the three strategies? Let me just keep it at that. Are you leveraging all three, or are you leaning towards one of those three strategies?
So mostly we're doing liens and deeds. All right. And the reason we're not doing too much redemption deeds is because most of the redemption deed states auctions are in person. We got to fly there, right? I live in Florida. I have to fly to Georgia to go participate in the auction. Now, yes, I've been to a couple, but that's the reason we're typically going for the ease of it all. Online auctions, sitting on my butt, I can be in the auction. I'm actually going to show y'all this later. I can find the auction and I can go ahead and be, I was in an auction this morning, right? I was able to show people our auction strategies, our bidding strategies, all types of stuff. So liens and deeds. I used to only go for deeds because I was greedy. I wanted the property right away. But then I started to learn more about liens. A lot of misconceptions with liens, okay? A lot of game right here. Mm-hmm. A lot of people associate liens with a waiting period, a redemption period. And when we associate the lien, we typically associate a really long redemption period, 2 years, 3 years, sometimes 1 year, 1 year. Well, a lot of people don't know that there's over-the-counter liens, right? So I can go get a lien from the county and it could literally have 30 days left. Mm-hmm. All right. A lot of people don't know that. Now, what they also don't know is I can buy other people's lien positions. And if I can buy a lien position, does that also mean that I could probably sell my lien position too? So now here we are, we're getting lien positions from people who have already held them for a year, 2 years. So now I'm coming in. All right, cool. I'll give you $3,000 for this thing. And then in 30 days, 45 days, it becomes a deed. And now I own the deed to that property.
I'm out of sweat. This brother. We didn't even get to the fun part of the interview yet. You're already going, okay. This is good. This is very, very good. So then one of the things you mentioned earlier about the three different routes that you could go is you had mentioned, like, for example, with tax redemption deeds, a lot of times you'll create content, people comment under like, hey, that's not true. There's no way. And that's because there are certain states where certain states where tax deeds are privy and certain states where they aren't, if I understand that correctly, and other states where you may have tax redemption deeds and other states where you don't. How are we able to figure out which of the three we have access to in whatever state that we're in?
Perfect. The best thing that you can do is go to your county clerk of court website. A lot of people go wrong. They're trying to search for the state. We have to go by county. We have to be pretty specific about this. Mm-hmm. So county clerk of court, when you go to their website, you're looking for anything, tax lien, tax deed, tax redemption deed, sheriff sale, commissioner sale. You're looking for anything that has to do with tax sale, right? Tax foreclosure, tax delinquency, whatever. If you can't find it, there's a contact us section, right? Mm-hmm. You just call them up. Hey, what happens here when people don't pay their property taxes? How, you know, can I invest and get these deeds or can I get liens? If hopefully you have somebody that knows something that day, because to be honest, we're in an industry where, you know, we call the courthouse and they don't know what the hell we're talking about, right? So we're in an industry where we have to know 10 times more than everybody else. Sometimes even the banks, for crying out loud. So we call them up and we're asking them, hey, what happens when we don't pay our property taxes? They'll guide you in the right direction. Like, hey, so we're a lien state. We're in Florida and we do our lien sales on lienhub.com. All you have to do is register on lienhub.com and then go ahead and show up to the auction. Or, you know, you're in Cali, they may say, hey, you know, this county in Cali, we do our auctions on Bid for Assets, BID4Assets.com. You go ahead and you register there and blah, blah, blah. So hopefully they should be giving you the game. A lot of times it's right there on their website, clear as day. A lot of times it's all right there. But sometimes it's hidden. They be trying to hide the sauce. Right. They were trying to hide the sauce sometimes, man.
Got you. Okay. All right. So here's the deal, right? I have some insight. I have some context now from you on what tax deeds and what tax liens and what tax redemption deeds are, how they work, some of the inner workings of them. But I'm going to speak for myself and I'll even speak for my audience too. I'm visual. I got to see it. I got to see it to believe it or I ain't going to believe it. I'm going to be honest with you, Joseph. I want to be able to not just tell the individuals how we can go about leveraging the strategy, but showing them in real time what they can do, how they can do it, and the steps they need to take to get it done. So can we break down for them in real time how they can start getting started on the strategy today? Not tomorrow, not next month. How they can take the information they're about to get on this episode right now and take actionable steps to start leveraging tax deeds to potentially secure their first real estate investment property. Can we do that?
Oh yeah, 100%. Let's make it happen.
So. Let's do it. I'ma give you the floor and I'ma let you walk us through it and talk us through it and show us step by step what are the things we need to do, get started in the space. And as you're going through it, if I see something, I may have some questions. I know you're gonna have some answers for me, but the floor is yours, brother.
All right, let's run it. So I'm gonna share my screen and then I'm gonna go ahead and head over here to Google. Can you see my Google?
I can see your screen. So as you're going through step by step, break down for me what's happening in real time and what you're doing and why you're doing it.
All right, perfect. So remember, I said the first step, I can put you on a plane and throw you off that plane. I'm nice. I'll give you a parachute. I can throw you off that plane and you can land anywhere, Idaho, Utah, whatever. Your first step is going to be the county clerk of court. All right, got to keep this simple. County clerk of court. So I'm right outside of Daytona Beach, Florida. It's called Volusia County. So all I'm going to do is I'm going to type in Volusia County Clerk of Court. Bam, it's right here. It popped up plain as day for me. So it's Lori Roth. I'm going to go ahead and click on that. Now, bam, I'm in here. Now, County Clerk of Court websites, some will be user-friendly. Some will look like they're from the 70s, man. Like, I can't lie to you. Right. So you're going to have to pretty much navigate around here. Searching records. No, I'm going to go to department. And I said, I'm looking for anything like tax sale related, tax deeds, tax liens. So bam, I see tax deeds. I see tax deeds, lands available. Well, the lands available are properties that didn't sell in old auction. So I actually could click here to see if there's anything I can buy right now today from the county. Well, county's closed. I can buy it tomorrow. All right. Now, right here is what I'm looking for. Tax deeds. And remember, I said this a lot of times, this is going to be plain as day. And with tax deeds, it's not like normal real estate. In normal real estate, when we say due diligence, we're talking about the asset. Like, hey, we have to inspect the asset. In tax deeds, when I say due diligence, I'm talking about the whole process and the asset. Reason being, we just registered for a few auctions in February, but the auctions aren't until April. Could you imagine going to the auction in April and they're like, whoa, you were supposed to, you were supposed to register 3 months ago, right? So we have to know the process, how much money we need to have down payment. You're not just going to show up in most cases. So it's right here, plain as day, www.volusia.realtaxdeed.com. You know, this is how you can deposit money. It's pretty much all there for you, right? It even has some definitions. What is a tax sale, right? How are tax deed advertised? You can look through this. Now, I'm going to just jump to the website because I'm already logged in. So Volusia County or Florida mostly uses a platform, what we call realauction.com. Now, I mentioned a few earlier, there's a lot of these, y'all, GovEase, CivicSource, Zeus Auction. There's a lot of different websites that you might end up on. But Real Auction, the cool thing about this is, y'all, I created an account. Real Auction, there's other states and other counties that use Real Auction. So if I want to jump to another county in Florida, I literally can just scroll here and I can go ahead and jump into another county. The counties don't talk as far as treasury goes. So if I put a deposit in this county, I won't have deposits in other counties, but I only have to create an account on Real Auction one time. Okay, one time. And they'll give me a different bidder number in each county. So it's super, it's amazing. Now, Volusia typically has, looks like, right, we have two auctions or every other Tuesday, we have an auction. Sometimes three auctions, sometimes two auctions. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to go back and show you some of the prices that these things were won for. So you see $2,700. This is more than likely an empty land parcel. Bidder walked away. $2,300, $2,100. So a lot of times these things came, like there's equity in these purchases. So even though this one sold for $2,100, I know this area, y'all, this lot is probably worth 40-50K. Okay, so somebody still made money. All right, $1,400, $3,700, and so on and so on. Now, I can also, I'm going to wrap it up right here. I can also go ahead, right? I can also go ahead and look at some of the next auctions coming up. So if I have time, I can start doing my research. One of the main things that we do, a lot of people don't know, is we get the properties before the auction. We're going directly to the homeowner. I can literally look at this address. Let me click on one. I can go ahead and see who owns it. I go right to the property appraiser site. I can see who owns the property. Now, guess what I can do from there? I can go to truepeoplesearch.com. And it looks like it's in a trust, so I won't be able to do that one. But for the sake of the lesson, let me show you. So I go to truepeoplesearch.com, and this is a free website. Y'all probably seen this before. I can literally take the info and go ahead and put it in there. Now, this owner is in a land trust. I don't have their name. I won't be able to do that. So let's go to, we can go back to another one. But for the sake of time, I'm not going to sit here and look at all of them. But you get the gist. We put it in truepeoplesearch.com. We're able to get their phone number. We can call them up. We can start negotiating. We try to get the properties for 20 to 40% of as-is market value. So if it's worth 100K, I'm typically starting my negotiations like literally all the way down to maybe 10K, 20K. So we're negotiating. We're negotiating. There's so much to negotiating that people don't realize too. But when we're calling them, we're painting a perfect picture for them to want to sell the property to us, right? We're painting that perfect picture for them so they can sell the property to us. Now, last thing I'll show you, just so everybody can see how many properties there are out there.
Let's do it.
Just so you can see how much opportunities out there. So we have an app, taxdeedwolfacademy.com. And I don't care. They can see my email. Send me some deals if you got some deals.
Listen, shameless plug.
Send me deals if you got deals. Uh-oh. Hold on. I might have to stop sharing my screen and go to another tab. Oh, I'm gonna stop sharing.
All good. In the meantime, while you're doing that, so like you said, we're going to our state county clerk, right? From there, once we're going to our state county clerk on that respective website, that's where we're going to be able to see those tax deeds or those tax liens, because this is all public information, right? And this is all 1,000% free. And essentially, we're able to see auctions that are coming up in our area where these properties where owners have not paid taxes on these respective properties are essentially getting auctioned off. Now, from there, we're able to see the dates, the times of these auctions, what properties are being auctioned off at these at being auctioned off. And some of these auctions are in person. Other ones are strictly online to where we don't have to go in person, right? For these auctions, we could do them 1,000% online.
Yep. Yep. 1,000% online. Super easy. I was in Puerto Rico last year for half the year. And, you know, I'm participating in tax deed auctions, winning property in Puerto Rico. Right. So you can mm-hmm. do this. You can do this anywhere. So
perfect.
I made it back in, man. So real quick, I'm going to just show you. We have a software basically skip traces and shows you where like all the upcoming auctions are within the next 2 months. All right. So can you see my screen? I'm going to drive on. So in here, I can see all these auctions coming up, right? So if I want to narrow this thing down, it's cool because I can filter this. So I can come in here and say, hey, I only want the properties in the state of Florida. So I can come in here and click Florida, view results, right? It loads. And then it only shows me the properties in Florida, right? All the properties populate. Now, if I want to narrow this thing down some more, I can come in here and say, hey, look, I only want properties with an opening bid of less than $3,000. So I'll put $3,000 or maybe $4,000 as my max and then let that thing auto-populate. It'll filter out. So this is an awesome tool for speed. I want properties that have a total market value of at least $7,000 though, right? Come in here and I filter this bad boy out. Now this is our software, so it's pretty cool. So we can come in here, we filter out. And as you can see on my screen here, I can start literally doing my research right from here. It shows the opening bids on these properties. You know, people, I say, hey, we get properties for less than $3,000. People are like, what? You're out your mind. But no, these are the type of properties that we are getting. Students are getting properties. Man, Marvin, almost every week we're getting properties. Like every single week, somebody's getting a property. At least one, two, three properties a week at this point. So it's going crazy. We're wholesaling. I got all types of other strategies that we do, tax deed to wholesale. I don't have to win the property in auction. I can get it under contract with the previous homeowner and then literally just assign it to an end buyer. Bam, just made 5,000. Bam, just made 10,000. So it's an awesome strategy, man.
You just said a lot. I got a lot of questions that need a lot of answers. Listen, so let's break that. I want to unpack all of that. So first and foremost, one of the key things you said when you were breaking everything down, right? You said you were talking about just analyzing some of the different properties. Like with anything in real estate investing, obviously you want to make sure that you're putting in a dollar somewhere where you can get two back. So for you, when it comes to looking at some of these different properties that are at these auctions, what exactly is the due diligence process to ensure that there's actually going to be, like, essentially that it's a property that's worth buying compared to a property that maybe wouldn't be in your best interest to and go ahead and invest in?
Yeah, so basically, we want to make money on the purchase. First rule of real estate investing is we always buy at a discount. So that's where tax deed comes in. We're buying at a discount. Now, how do we know we're getting a discount? We do what we call comps. People go to Zillow, they're looking at the Zestimate and stuff. Like, no, we're not looking at any auto-generated number. We want to let the market tell us what this home is worth. So I use land parcels because that's one of the easiest things somebody on this watching this video could do, like, really quickly. You can use literally a credit card real quick, $5,000, and go get your first deed and flip it. So let's say you're looking at an empty land parcel. You're looking at an empty land parcel, and opening bid is $1,200. What you're going to do is you're going to go to Zillow, and on Zillow, we're looking for the other land parcels that close to the same size as the one that you want to buy. We want to see what those actually sold for, right? So if I see one sold for $20,000, one sold for, you know, $23,000, another one sold for $19,000, then I can safely say, like, man, if I get this thing for anything under 15K, for crying out loud, if I can get it for under $5,000, I'm going to make some bank. So right. We go back to the auction, and, you know, that's one that I might check on my list, right? Like, okay, cool. I'm going for this one. The next thing that people fail to look at is the exit strategy. So if you're going to buy an empty land parcel, who's going to be your buyer? Typically like a builder, right? So can we even build on this land, right? So people are like, oh, I'm going to do an Airbnb. I'm going to do this, this, and this. And I was like, well, have you even checked if local municipalities will allow that, right? Have you checked zoning? Can you, I'm going to just put a three-story 12 unit here. Like, okay, all right. Mm-hmm. But it's the same thing with tax sale. If you think you're going to sell this to a builder, all right, what the hell can we build here, right? Let's go ahead and confirm these things. Another thing that really gets people hemmed up, liens. Tax lien is not the only lien out there. There are other liens that can be put on these properties. So to give you an example, we may have municipal liens, like right from the city, mechanics liens, right? Somebody did some work there, the owner didn't pay, bam, they put a lien on your property because you owe them a debt. Now, the cool thing about liens or the thing about liens is a lot of people are scared of them. I don't need you to be scared of liens. I just need you to not let the lien come up and hit you and haymaker you and leave you on the canvas, right? So if you know about the lien and you know how much it is, there may even be some scenarios where I tell you to buy a property that has a lien on it still because there's still some money to be made, or we might even be able to negotiate the lien, right? I've negotiated liens that were supposed to not even be able to be negotiated. Right. Mm-hmm. Municipal liens. So there's a lot to this game. Of course, us being at that next level that we know, but the average person won't know.
Beautiful. Another question I have, right, because we also talked about financing. So I'm in the credit space. So obviously I know about business credit, lines of credit, but I also know about different forms of financing that are specific to certain industries. Right. More specifically, your industry, i.e. real estate. So in your experience, once again, everybody knows about business credit cards and know about banks like Chase and Bank of America and Wells Fargo. Are there certain types of financing that if I'm looking to get into this space beyond just business credit cards that I can look into that are specific for real estate investing, or even if they aren't specific for real estate investing, on your end you've used and have had the most success in consistently being able to get access to capital for these deals that you're doing?
That's the tough thing. There's not that many. There are some. There are a select few. Like I literally know a handful of people, and it's more like in-house, damn near private type of deal, right? So there are ways that you can get money. It's typically going to be private money though, and typically business credit cards, because like VA loan, you know, FHA loan, you're not going to be able to get a lender to come, you know, lend on these properties. The main reason being, especially if you win it from the tax sale automatically clouds the title, which means we can't even do a cash out refinance or nothing. The government is seizing this property and giving it to someone else. It's technically like unjust, okay? What if it was a grandparent there, you know, it was an old elderly woman, she died and her heirs didn't even know about it, right? So they just forcefully took it and gave it to somebody else. Those heirs technically have a claim to that property. So it's going to be very hard to get a lender to lend on that without a clear title. So that's where these extra steps come in of us clearing the title. Then we're able to go ahead and leverage the equity. Then it's the BRRRR strategy, right? Buy, rehab, rent, refinance, repeat. The only difference is our buy is just from a different niche of real estate. We can still BRRRR. Everything else is the same. It's just our acquisition is different. We just have a way clean, way more smooth, way more affordable acquisition than most people.
The biggest risk that most entrepreneurs take is trying to build a successful business without funding. But that risk is a reality for one out of every three entrepreneurs because their personal credit isn't where it needs to be in order for them to access that capital. Now, the truth is you can close the gap between where your business is versus where you want it to be by leveraging business credit, but if your personal credit report is poor, 99% of banks and lenders are going to deny you from doing so. And I should know, because a couple of years ago, I leveraged my personal credit report to get funding from Chase to start my company. And now that very same company, Takeoff Financial, is serving entrepreneurs just like you that are looking to restore their credit to get access to 5 to 6 figures in funding. So if you want to go from risk to reward, click the link above or below this video to schedule your free consultation so that we can restore your credit and put you in position to access capital to build the business of your dreams.
Got you. We broke down the bright side of this business. I want to talk a little bit about the dark side because I don't care what line of business you're in. If you're not taking L's, you're probably not in it for real, right? You're going to take some lumps along the way. You're going to lose money on some deals. You're going to invest in some deeds that you thought should have been turned out to be one thing. And in actuality, it turned out to be something totally different. What is the side of the business that doesn't make it to Instagram? What's the side of the business that that really makes you seasoned and to where, you know, you took your lumps, your bumps and your bruises and things got real, real bad, but ultimately you were able to power through?
Oh, man, where to start?
Let's do it. Let's do it.
Oh, I'm glad you said that. We all take L's. Look at the two teams that were just in the Super Bowl. They all had losses still, but they still made it to the Super Bowl, right? Look at the, you know, best basketball team. They're going to have losses. They might win the championship still. So then again, it all comes back to adversity, being able to deal with these obstacles and overcome them. So in this real estate game, man, I've purchased liens that had other liens on it, and I didn't know in the beginning, right? That I thought was going to kill me. I was still able to sell that to a builder. The equity was still there, so he handled the lien. It was a what we call a lot clearance lien. So if that person's not paying that property tax, do you think they're cutting the grass? Think they're paying somebody to cut the grass?
Right.
No. So the city had been paying somebody to cut the grass for like 2 years. So when I bought that property, they're like, hey, Mr. Tax D Wolf, name sounds cool and all, but you owe us $3,000-something. It's like, oh, crap. All right, dang. I was still able to sell that thing off. Now, some other things that happen in real estate, this is one of the biggest things that where you can go wrong. Contractors. No offense to anybody out there that's a contractor, but I've had contractors basically run off on me. And that's what we get. That's where we developed our blueprint that works so well. So why the heck would I Zelle a contractor? Why the heck would I pay a contractor cash, especially if there's no trust there? I've never used them before. There was no referral from somebody else. So we're paying contractors how? Credit cards, right? That's a new thing that we're like, all right, learn my lesson there. Guy ran off with damn near $12,000.
Crazy.
Did crappy work and then was supposed to put an AC unit in, all this stuff. No AC unit, no nothing. Had to hire a new contractor, lost out on that money. But we can't, you know, we can't cry about these things.
Right.
We learn and hopefully we're with the right mentor that's already been through it. So we don't have to go through it again. But man, it's tough out there.
Right.
It can be tough out there, man.
Right. The nature of the beast. Once again, you're going to take L's, right? It's just a matter of being able to weather the storm and see the bigger picture and why you're getting in this space. And that's a great segue into another point that I wanted to touch on too, when we talk about just navigating this journey of entrepreneurship. Because you made a post the other day that actually resonated with me very deeply on your social. You were talking about, you were actually with, you know, your newborn daughter, and you were talking about how a lot of business owners always complain about not having enough time, right? I don't have enough time to start this business, or the reason why I can't get into real estate or can't get into entrepreneurship is because of work and all these other different things. And you mentioned how with you being a father of three, right, it's not a matter of, you know, finding the time. The time is there. You just got to find a way to make it work, because even with you being a husband and being a father of three, you still find time to grow and build your real estate empire. And for me, I think the reason why that resonated with me so deeply is because I think the most important thing, not just in entrepreneurship, but in life, is perspective, right? There's individuals that look at glass half full and individuals that look at, you know, glass half empty, right? Talk to me a little bit about that from your experience, and if you could dive a little bit deeper into just that post in and of itself. For you, how important has just perspective and mindset in navigating this journey, not just as an investor, but also as an entrepreneur, been to your success as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, so I lost it there for a sec, but I believe I know what you were asking me. So the main thing is, you know, everybody always has an excuse, right? We always have an excuse. We see other people winning. It's got to be a scam. You know, all right, this guy's got the nice car. It's got to be a scam. There's no way that I can do this. When I was in the military, I used to have like really bad anxiety to perform, though, not just like random anxiety. Like I wanted to perform well. Right. You know, why was this? In school, we were so conditioned. The correct answer, it's A, B, C, or D. Mm-hmm. That's not real life. So a lot of us have anxiety these days. We get analysis paralysis, trying so hard to stick on the one. There's got to be one right answer. There's got to be one way to do it. And people become what we call perfectionists. Well, what's the output of a perfectionist? A blank piece of paper. They're never going to get anything done. So what you have to do is, one, you just have to start, right? You have to start. I have a tattoo on me. Literally, it says fail fast and move on. One of my first sergeants used to tell me that. You have to just try, and try again. We don't have tomorrow. Yesterday is gone. Mm-hmm. All you can do is everything that you can do in this day. That's mm-hmm. all you can do anyway. So get up off your butt and get out there and do what you can do. If things happen, how many millionaires do you know that filed bankruptcy? Facts. A lot. A lot of people have lost everything and then got it back again. It's all about the bounce back. It's all about the obstacle. No one's journey to success was just later. This. I can't say no one, but most people's journey to success is like, and then finally they make it. So you have to understand that life is about you overcoming obstacles, dealing with adversity. That's what makes the guy who never went through anything, can they really call themselves the champion? No. The champion is the one who fought. The champion is the one who was down before and got back up again. So that's how you have to maneuver through this life. Time blocking is one thing that's big. You know, I have three daughters. Three daughters, man. We got to, I got to do it for them. So I can't just say, oh, my daughters, you know, were stressing me out, so I couldn't get it done. No, if I have to put all their butts to sleep, they're going to, where's the nightmare at? Nah, I'm just kidding. But if I got to put them to bed and go get some things done, you're going to have to make sacrifices. Right. You're going to have to wake up earlier or you're going to have to go to bed later. And sometimes we have to make that sacrifice in order to get things done. And that's something that I did coming out of nursing. People ask me, how do you do it with a 9-to-5 still? Well, it's about what you do when you clock out. It's not about what you do when you're at work. And even when you are an employee, are you the employee that just goes home and that's it? Or are you in the employee that goes home and further educates yourself, gets more certifications, right? Continues to climb the ladder. What I said this earlier, how you do anything is how you do everything. So you have to make that sacrifice. The sacrifice might be cutting off those friends that aren't doing nothing. Those people that are going out on, you know, every weekend. You got to make some sacrifices and you have to be able to know that, you know, adversity comes. You just got to man up and deal with it.
There you go. There you go. My guy, listen, as we begin to start to wrap things up, I want to share some closing words, or would like for you to share closing words for individuals that are trying to get in the real estate space and are still dealing with that mindset problem. They're still creating excuses, right? Instead of looking at the silver lining or whatever their situation is, right? For those individuals that are watching this and they want to get started, but for every one reason as to why they want to start, they're creating 10 more. So why they shouldn't, what would you say to those people that are watching this episode right now as we begin to close things out?
The best thing to do, I went to a mastermind in Costa Rica and I saw something very, very amazing. There was a cliff that you can jump off and go into the water. Right. And so at first the guy's like, hey, who's going to do it? Nobody. Like I'm the only one up there. So then you see another person get up there. You see another person. And then before you knew it, Marvin, there was a line of people ready to jump off the cliff in the water. And I was like, holy crap, that's amazing. That's the power of you know, a community. Mm-hmm. Having peers that you can see doing this that are going to walk you through. So in the beginning, nobody wanted to do it. But then all it took was two other people doing it, three other people doing it. You know, I always say you have to be in the sky before you tell people you can fly, right? So you need to be... You need to be hanging around those people who have done this before, the ones who are already flying. Then you eventually are going to take flight by default. You hang around four broke people, you're going to be the fifth, right? But if you hang around four millionaires, bro, there is almost absolutely no way that your mindset does not change and you don't start coming out here and you start putting things into action. So the sacrifice is going to be your circle, your network. That's going to be the first thing. Get in there and start being around other people that can that's doing it. When I retired, people don't know this. When I retired, it's because two of my other business partners had already left their job. Mm. It made it like, man, if they did it, I'm a strong believer that if somebody else on this earth can do it, I can do it myself. Right. So when I saw them do it, I was like, man, look, I know I can do it. Right. If y'all did it. So that's what happened. So get yourself around the right people. Follow the right people on social media. People close their social media accounts. Oh, I had to delete it because it was, you know, it was the devil. It was the wrong thing. No, you were using it the wrong way.
Facts.
Right? You were using it the wrong way, man. Come on. I get deals on social media all day, every day. So we have to sacrifice and, you know, stop, unfollow all the BS and start following, you know, start tuning into some real estate. Start tuning into some people that are talking about business credit. What you tune into, you turn into. You have to eat, breathe, and crap real estate if you really want to be a real estate investor. It's not the hokey pokey. You can't just tip your toe in and then keep pulling it out and tipping it back in. You need to be all in every single day. Go. Like you need to be dreaming about real estate. damn near. People should usually hear a ghost whispering, real estate, right? That's
that's facts, though. Right.
But that's what you got to do, man. You need to become this today and not tomorrow, not a week from now. You need to become, who do you want to be? You need to be that person today and start hanging around people that would be hanging around that person that you want to be. Start hanging around them right now.
I love it. Listen, the tax deed wolf himself, Mr. Joseph Griffin Jr., as we begin to close out, let the individuals who are watching this episode, the aspiring real estate investors who are watching this episode right now, know where they can find you at, man.
Yo, every platform, Tax Deed Wolf, you should find me. Instagram's Tax Deed Wolf CEO. If you want to get in contact with myself or my team, taxdeedwolfacademy.com. We got some free webinars for you that go way more in depth than this. I'm giving you all the websites and everything. You can watch the webinar and literally be in your first tax deed auction. You know, we're doing some amazing things, man. I just want y'all to be a part of it. I need y'all to learn the things that I didn't learn growing up. We got to take, it's our time, right? Our time right. is now. So let's make it happen.
Let's go, man. Joseph, my guy, the wolf, I appreciate you. If everybody's watching at home, I appreciate each and every single one of y'all. And if you haven't already, what are you doing? Take a second, take a minute, take an hour out of your day right here, right now to go ahead and subscribe to the channel and make sure that you follow my guy, the Tax Deed Wolf, on all social media platforms for anything and all things tax deed investing. But as always, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Marvin Francois, Joseph Griffin Jr. Y'all have been good. We've been great. This has been amazing. And as always, thank you and God bless. Peace.
Take care.